riveredge.tv/events. Kids must be 4 years old by May 20th to participate. We can't wait for an incredible week of soccer, fun, and faith. And now, let's continue our celebration of Easter.
Well, all right. It is good to be here, everybody. Awesome to see all of you in here. Everybody in the South Auditorium, that is full. Everybody in the Next Steps room, that's full. Everybody in the lobby out there, and if you're in your car, we are so glad wherever you are. And if you're watching, we're so glad you're doing that as well and joining us. And hey, before we get going, let me just, I'm going to set the table for us today. So I'm just going to read. Here's Matthew 28. Here's what it says. So it says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. And his face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. And we are here today because Jesus is still alive. The tomb is still empty. Come on, everybody. He has risen from the dead, and he hasn't gone back. And there are billions of people right now talking about that as we speak. And so it's just awesome to be in here to celebrate that with you as well. And so welcome back if you've been here. And if this is your first time here, we are so glad that you're choosing to be with us. My name's Andy, and I'm one of the pastors here. And we're just glad to have you today, wherever you may be coming from. And I'm just hoping that you felt welcomed by us and welcomed by the God of the universe who wants to meet you here with the resurrection of Jesus today. And so today what we're going to do is I just want to talk a little bit about why the resurrection of Jesus matters. And we're going to do that by looking to a story where we're actually going to bring in some things and see some things about us that all of us face, and how Jesus tells us what his resurrection does, not just for our salvation into heaven, but for our life here as we live it as well. But before we get going on that, I do want to just quickly give a heads up about what we are going to be doing next week. And I want to invite all of you to join us next Sunday. I know some of you are here, you know, you haven't been to church in a while, or maybe you're trying to check us out and see if you want to come back. I want to invite you to come back next week. And it's a great time to jump in with us as a church, because starting next week, we're going to be in a brand new series. I'm really excited about it. We're calling it Dear Church. And what we're going to do is we're going to take 5 weeks and study a book of the Bible together. We're going to study the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go through that chapter by chapter. So it's just a great time to jump in with us. We're going to be learning about what faith looks like and how the church should be looking in times that we're in today. And so I think we're going to learn a lot as we do that. We even have study guides that we're going to start making available next week. And these study guides will actually help you, and they're just for free. You can have them, and it'll help you go through the entire book of 1 Thessalonians on your own individually as we go through this chapter by chapter. So I just want to invite you all to join us next Sunday for that. Jump in with us. It's a great time to do it. We're going to be back to our regular services, 8:15, 9:45, and 11:30, because those sound easier to remember, right, everybody? We'll be back to our regular times, 8:15, 9:45, and 11:30, all right? So hope to see you next Sunday as we jump into that book of the Bible. It's going to be great. All right, well, let's get going. If you have your Bibles or electronics you want to follow along with us, go ahead and jump to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, which we're going to be today. And this is actually, if you've ever been to church, this is actually a familiar story that we're going to look at today. It's the story of Jesus and Lazarus. And why I want to look at this today is because Jesus makes a statement in here about himself that is appropriate for Easter. If you're taking notes, this is what I want us to not miss today. Here's what he says. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." That we're going to see that today, but we're also going to see that there is also a lot going on with the people around Jesus in the story, and how Jesus breaks through the things that can actually get in the way of not just believing in him, but having the kind of belief that just changes us from the inside out. It's the kind of belief that everybody's looking for, and we can have it. It's available, and we're going to see how Jesus breaks through that for us to have it. Okay, so let's get caught up in the story a little bit. So there are two sisters, Martha Martha and Mary, and they send a message to Jesus about their brother who is sick. And he's not just sick, he is deathly sick. All right, so they send someone to find Jesus and tell him about Lazarus. And if because they're like, if anybody could do anything, it's you, Jesus. Like, we've seen you heal people. We've seen you do things that no other human being has done. And so in verse 5, it says this. It says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Well, maybe he didn't love him that much, everybody. I don't know. That doesn't seem like what you do if you really love somebody. But here in a minute, we're going to see that really bothers Martha and Mary. They get really upset with Jesus about that because, spoiler alert, Lazarus dies. He dies while Jesus waits, and Jesus, he knew when he died while he was waiting back. And so dropping down to verse 11, here's what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, all right, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there to wake him up. And his disciples replied, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And so Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples weren't picking up on that. They actually thought that he really meant that he was sleeping. And so then he told it plainly, which to me, I find Jesus going, he's dead, guys. Like that, I just find him, like, he's like, do I really have to say this? But he did. He's like, he's dead. And here's what he says though. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And so weird thing here, right? That Jesus says, hey, I'm glad that our friend is dead. That doesn't make sense, right? When you read it, like, that doesn't compute with us, but everybody listen, it doesn't make sense for us here because we're only really able to put earthly logic to what actually is an eternally thinking God, everybody, right? So what we're gonna see is we're gonna find out that Jesus, he just sees things on a level that we can't see. And so he tells the guys, he says, What I'm about to do, this is why he said he's glad. He says, what I'm about to do is gonna prove to you that all the things that I've been building up to, all the things that I've done, it is not just an earthly thing. That there is a more supernatural thing going on in what I'm talking about. And here's what he says, and it's just gonna make you believe in me. It's just gonna make you believe, all right? So next verse, my favorite verse, it says, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, here's what he said to the rest of the disciples. He goes, all right, well, let us go that we may die with him. Now, if you're new, you don't know me very well, but if you've been here for a while, you know that when I read the Bible, I see humor in the Bible a lot, everybody. And this is where one of those verses where I see a lot of humor, and it makes me kind of chuckle with Thomas, because Thomas here, and it's the same Thomas you're thinking of, it's doubting Thomas. You gotta love Eeyore here, because he says, all right, guys, I guess let's just go and all die with him. We're gonna die sometime, so let's just, at least we get to die together, and we can do it, let's just get it over with, right? Don't we all have a friend like that? Like, does everybody have a friend like that, right? And if they're here with you, don't nudge them or anything like that. I just saw a nudge. Don't do that. Don't let them know. We want them to be safe here, okay? Just like a Debbie Downer, right? We all have that kind of, never sees the bright side of things, never sees the good side. That's Thomas, right? He's like, well, we're gonna get busy dying, wah, wah, right? And so they get into town. They head towards Lazarus. They get into town. It says this. It says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And that's significant because Jewish tradition believed that after the fourth day, that's when they really believed that it was happened. And so everybody started coming to town. It says they're a few miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them. So they were getting ready to have the funeral for Lazarus concerning their brother. And so when Martha, though, heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Okay, so you could just picture this, right? Like, that's an easy, we can all visualize this pretty easy because here's the thing. Like, I could see Martha coming out. Like, Martha's not coming out with, like, arms that want to hug. Like, here's Martha's arms coming out. She's like, really? Like, that's how I see her coming out. Like, fourth day, like, you're here now, Jesus. Like, don't need you now. Thanks a lot, right? Like, that's what I see her doing, right? She's like, so now you come? And Mary, though, she's different. Right? She just stays inside. I think she's heartbroken. We'll find out about her here in a minute. So Martha comes to Jesus. Like, she comes to Jesus, verse 21, it says, Martha said, hey, if you'd been here, then my brother would not have died. So not a shocking statement. maybe knowing what we know about Jesus, what she knew about Jesus, would probably say the same thing to Jesus. And what I want us to see here, though, is that Jesus doesn't interrupt her. He lets her vent. He lets her say these. It's just important to see that he lets her do that. You know, because she's on assault mode and he's not like, hey, watch yourself, Martha. Or like, hey, do you know who you're talking to? Like, I'm the Son of Man, right? He doesn't do that. And she keeps going. She goes, if you were here, he wouldn't be dead. In verse 22, she keeps going and says this, but even now, though, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, here's what he said, your brother will rise again. Now, check this out, because she actually thinks he's talking about like heaven. Like he's talking about the life to come, but check this out, because Jesus is about to say something. He's going to say something that changes everything for her and everything for everybody else. Here's what he says in verse 24. It says, so Martha said to him, so you can see she's like, I know, like we'll see him in heaven. Like you can just feel that kind of thing. He's rising with the resurrection on the last day. But here's what, see, I see Jesus interrupting her here now. And he goes, no, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and life, that whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks her a question. Do you believe this? And so Jesus right here says something about himself, we gotta catch this, that removes him from any kind of realm of just he was a good teacher or he was just a prophet. He removes all of that, whatever you wanna use to fill in the blank about Jesus, because he clearly makes it known here, right here, about who he is. Because here's what he doesn't say, everybody. He doesn't say, oh, Martha, like, hey, one day God will get all this sorted out. Like, you'll see, God will make this all okay. No, here's what he says. He goes, no, I'm the solution. It's me, I'm God in the flesh. I am the resurrection. It's not something that's gonna happen down the road. It's me, Martha, who's standing right in front of you. And so he asks her, do you believe? And this is where I wanna stop the story. And I wanna talk about a few things from here. And just so I don't lose those of you who hate getting stuck in the middle of a story and you don't get the answer, I'll close the loop for you real quick, okay? So here's what happens if you don't know. So Jesus, because we're not gonna read it. Jesus goes to the tomb and he calls out Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days. And Lazarus just comes out of there like he's been playing hide and seek, everybody. Like I couldn't imagine what's going through his head. Like I couldn't imagine what he's like, wait a minute, what's going on? I couldn't imagine. I would have so many questions for Lazarus, wouldn't you, everybody, right? He just comes out like peekaboo but it's a miracle. It's a miracle. He raises Lazarus from the dead. But what I want to look at today is I think something that we miss from the story, and it's maybe something for us that we miss with the people, and how up to this point with at least a few of these people, here's the thing, they were having issues with Jesus. Like they were having serious issues with their faith in him, but don't miss this. See, Jesus still made the impossible possible, and he still performed a miracle in the middle of all these issues that were going on. And I wanna put forward that this is a message for all of us to take in, because the message that we need to get here is this, is that Jesus didn't wait for them to do what he came to do. Like he didn't wait for them to catch up. He didn't wait for them to get there before he did what he came to do. And I want to encourage you today, listen, today, wherever you are with Jesus, that he's not waiting for you either. He's not waiting for you to get it all together. He's not waiting for you to get to a place where he thinks you deserve it or anything. He's not waiting for anything to make the impossible possible in your life. Can't I get a good amen on that? He's not waiting for you. And I'm telling you, this is why the resurrection of Jesus is so amazing. And so what I wanna do, if you get your notes, go ahead and get them out there. I wanna look at three people today and see if we can just find some things that we can relate to a little bit. And here's the first person I wanna look at, and it's Thomas. And here's what I think Thomas was struggling with. He was struggling with fear, And I think that's a lot of people. I think that's more people than what we're willing to admit to, that I think we allow fear to drive our lives more than we think. And there's so many of us, we have fears, right? I don't think there's actually a person on the planet, if they're really honest, I don't think there's a person on this planet that can say, I fear nothing. Like they're liars, they're liars, right? So here's what I want us to do, just to normalize this. I want you to turn to your neighbor, turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell them what your biggest fear is. I'm just kidding, don't do that. I'm just kidding, you don't have to do that. I was just seeing if you would do it. Happy Easter, right? Like, I just unlocked the greatest fear for some people right there. They're like, oh, like, and somebody next to you was like, please don't share. I don't want to know, right? Like, so now you can just be released from that, okay? Just thought, you know. So a couple of people last service actually turned. I'm like, wait, I think I paused too long, okay? Somebody heard what they shouldn't have heard, okay? But like, I do think fear drives a lot more than we think. I think it drives a lot of what we do. I think it drives a lot of what we think. And listen to everybody, that fear can bleed in to how we view Jesus, can it not? I think it can. Thomas was struggling here. I think he's such a great example for us. He really was. Now listen, everybody, he was following Jesus. He followed Jesus. He saw what he could do, but still in the midst of that, he feared the worst. And by the way, just so you know, Thomas wasn't being as dramatic as you think he was when he said, let's go die with him, because they were actually returning to a place that they just left, and people were trying to kill them. Jesus was literally like, hey, let's go back to the place they were trying to stone us to death. So I think Thomas was being justified because he was like, hey, anybody else think this is a bad idea? No? Okay. So we can let him off the hook a little bit, but you know, I think for us, I think we can operate out of fear more than we think. And it's why, by the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that in the Bible, the words fear not is up there over 100 times, everybody. It's for believers in him, because God knows that we're gonna struggle with this in our lives as we follow Jesus. But here's what Jesus does. This is amazing. In the middle of our fear, this is what he could do. If you wanna write this down, he can actually turn our fear into faith. That's what he could do. And you know, when I look at Thomas and I look at this story, what I love is that, listen, Jesus didn't even wait for Thomas to get over his fear. He didn't blink with that. He just invited him to follow him anyways. He's like, just come on with me, Thomas. And he did. And here's what I want to say for us. Like, the same is true for us. That you do not have to have it all figured out. You really don't. You don't have to like eliminate every fear. Here's what you got to do. Here's what Jesus says. You just got to take the next step towards him. In the middle of the fears, in the middle of that. And I'll tell you this, at least for me, you know, when I think about this in my own life and the own fears that I face, like, you know, Jesus, this is what I love about Jesus. He just makes it so much easier to step out in faith. Like, when I see that he invites me to believe even in the middle of my fears, that I don't have to, listen, everybody, that I don't have to get rid of all of them to get all of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Isn't that an amazing thing about Jesus? Like I want you to see here how he deals with the doubter. I want you to see directly how Jesus deals with the person who just feared the worst. Because, man, I think maybe some of us sometimes think that our fear is disqualifying, but it's not. It's not. And so I just want you to know that your fears will not keep Jesus away. He doesn't even flinch. He says, I'll still do it for you. If you just walk with me, and then the truth will be here for you to see. It's not gonna change one bit, everybody. The truth will be here whenever you're ready to see it. And some of you, that's you. Like, you have questions. Like, you have these like what ifs rattling around in your brain. Like, what if? Like, what if this is real? What if this is true? But there's a fear of like, what happens? Is my life gonna change? What's gonna happen if I follow him and I go on with Jesus? And I'm here to tell you, God welcomes every single one of those fears. And we welcome you too. We welcome you too. And now here's what I'll do. I'll make you a deal. How about this? You just keep coming back, okay, everybody? You just keep coming back. And when you're ready, the truth will be there for you to believe. And we will keep welcoming you into this place. And we are here to help you take that step of faith. Whenever you're ready to take it, and that belief in Jesus who died for your sins to be forgiven, and so you can have a life of freedom and forgiveness and grace, and you can see how it changes you from the inside out. Amen, everybody? And you just keep coming back, okay? And so that was Thomas. Here's the second person, and it's Martha. And here's what she was struggling with. She was struggling with frustration, right? I mean, she was just frustrated. And then, like, what I love about Martha here is it's clear to see, like, it's not that she didn't believe in Jesus, but she just had some disappointment with him, didn't she? Like, she had these questions of like, why didn't you fix this? Jesus, why didn't you do that? Like, you were supposed to come at this time and at this place, and you didn't. And I think right there is where some people are today, right now in your life. Some of you in this room, you can relate to that. You're thinking, listen, I don't necessarily have a problem believing in God. I just don't like the way he does things sometimes. Because listen, he doesn't show up the way that I think he should show up. And he doesn't have the timing that I think he should have, that I think is best in my life, right? You know, I know for me, as I sit here and preach today, like, I have frustrations in my life. There are frustrations that I have some to do with. There are even frustrations that are outside of my control, and I have them in my life. There are areas that where I think God should do something like in this way and in this time, because I think I'm right, okay? Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, God, get on board with what I think, okay? Because I think I know, but am I the only one? Thanks a lot, everybody. Okay, whatever, whatever. You can put your halos back on when you leave today, okay? But like that, you know what? Like, and because I think that's the right way things should go. Do you know why I think that, everybody? Because I'm a human being. Gang, listen, we all have that. Don't think you're alone in that. Don't think that frustration is like something that God flinches at, man. We all have that going on. And so here's the thing for me, though. See, I've been following Jesus long enough, though, to know this, though. Like, even in my frustrations, disappointment, whatever you want, that, like, I know this deep down in my soul that, listen, even in the midst of those, like, I know that he's also working in ways that I can't see. Come on, somebody. Like, he's working in these ways I can't see. And I'm not saying I always like the way he's working. I'm not saying that at all. But here's what I know. I just know that he will always work things out way better than I ever could on my own. That's straight fact, Jack, okay? Like, I just know that in my life. And so what I know and what I want you to know is that in these disappointments and in these frustrations, delays don't mean that he doesn't care. Don't get that mixed up. They don't mean they don't care. Like, so here's the thing about Martha. Like, Martha knew in the midst of this that Jesus was still different, right? Like, she knew that what she was seeing and who he wasn't just human. Like, she, and that transcended her circumstance. Her circumstance didn't leave. But even though that feeling was raw, like she lost her brother, like it was right there in that moment, she still saw Jesus for who he really is. And listen, everybody, that he hasn't abandoned her and that he does still care. And for those of you who are here and you have a disappointment with God and you struggle with how he operates, I just want to let you know, I want you to hear this as clear as you can hear it. God is working in your life. Don't believe anything different. That's a lie if you don't believe. He is working in your life. And I'm telling you, when you have the ability to look back and see, if you see it the way he sees it, you will see what he's doing, okay? I know, here's what I know, and I think a lot of people here would testify to this and say amen out loud if I ask them. Like, here's what I know. If God is doing something, it is intentional. And if God ain't doing something, it's intentional. And listen, everybody, he's still doing something. Amen, somebody? Like, he's still doing something. So delays don't mean that he doesn't care. And here's the third person in the story. It's Mary. And here's what I think her struggle was. It was just discouragement. Like, I don't think Mary was angry. I don't think she was afraid. I don't think anything like that. She was just sad. Her heart was broken. Her heart was broken. And some of you, that describes you right now. That's where you are. And maybe that's why you can't seem to get over this hump, either to believe in Jesus or really follow him with all you got, right? It's holding you back. That your issue, it's really not with God. Here it is, it's just life is tough. Life is hard. And so it's not anger, it's not philosophical difference. Like, you're like, no, I know there's a creator out there. It's just I'm down, I'm disheartened, I'm sad. And here's the thing, in a church this size, every single Sunday that we gather here together, there isn't just someone, there's a lot of ones that are going through this and coming in here with a discouragement in their lives. So don't think you're alone in that either. But here's what I want, man, I want you to notice something in this story. I want you to notice who you have in Jesus. Because here's what Jesus didn't say. He didn't look at Mary and go, gosh, geez, you lack faith, Mary. Geez, get it together. Suck it up. No. You know what Jesus did? Look here in verse 35 with me. Here's what he did. That, listen, the God of the universe who came down here and took on flesh and was still God fully, who created us and knows the full story from beginning to end. What did he do? He stopped and he cried. He wept. Now listen, everybody, that he joined Mary in her grief. He joined Mary in her grief. And so just so you know, just about this with our discouragements. Listen, discouragements do not drive Jesus away. Your discouragement does not drive him away. Do you know what it actually does? It actually draws him closer to you. Did you know that, somebody? Like, it draws him closer to you. You know why? Because the Bible says some things about Jesus. You know what it says about Jesus? That he is the man of sorrows. He's a man that he understands pain, that he understands grief. That's a part of why he came down to show us. He's like, no, I'm not just somebody up in the sky pointing down. No, I've been there with you. I've gone through this with you. And when Jesus came, I'm just telling you, man, wherever you are with this kind of story, he came with a message about your valleys. And here's what he came to tell you. He said, Jesus said that in God's kingdom, man, the low is lifted up. that the low will be lifted up by me. So I want you to know, if you're here and you're in a low place, first of all, know that God didn't put you there. I just want you to know that, okay? But also, what you need to know is that Jesus came so that every single valley in your life would be filled up. Can I get a good amen on that? That's why he came. He will meet you in that place. He's not just getting you through it. He's meeting you in it, and he is walking through it with you. It, literally, as we speak, he is in it with you, and he can lift you up. And so with all three of these people, see, this is where it like comes together for us. This is where it kind of comes in for us. See, not one person in here will go through your life without having one or two or even like all three of these happening in our life. So what do we need to see in this today? What do we need to see? Like, if what I need is Jesus, and if Jesus can really come in and get me to a place of freedom and get me to a place of peace and purpose in my life, then how do I get there then when I'm going through all of this stuff? Okay, well, Jesus is gonna tell you how you get there. And I wanna go back to verse 25, because here's what he said to Martha. Do you know what he said to her? Notice what he doesn't say, as he doesn't say, you. Like, you need to get it. Hey, you better get it straight. Like, you get, like, this is on you to understand me. You need to stop doubting. This is what you need to do. You need to cut it out. You need to quit being mad. Quit being disappointed or angry. No. Look, everybody. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. So catch this, everybody. You got to catch this, because the thing that this whole deal is centered around isn't you. It's him. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he goes on to say, he goes, that whoever believes in me, even though they die, they'll live, and whoever lives will never die. And he says, do you believe this? And everybody, here's what the disappointed person says. Okay. All right. In the middle of everything that's going on, I will believe you. I believe you. And here's what you need to catch. See, Jesus didn't wait for her to get unmad. He didn't wait for Thomas to get unscared. He didn't wait for Mary to get more encouraged. He said, I will do it for you right now. You just need to believe. Just believe in me. And he did. He did it all for you. And he's not waiting for you to get any other place than where you are right now. Because listen, everybody, it's not about you and your position with him. It's about him and his great love for you. Can I get a good amen on that, everybody? And so what I want to end with is just this. I want to end with the same question that Jesus asked, just as clearly as I can say it. Jesus is asking you this: do you believe? Do you believe? And here's the great thing about believing. Like, this is what he's driving us to understand. See, believing isn't a feeling, it's a choice. It's a choice. And here's the deal, everybody. See, like, we're not standing here today talking about Jesus because he raised Lazarus from the dead. Like, Lazarus would die again. He would die again. And we're not talking about Jesus today because he died on the cross. Plenty of people died that way in Jesus's day. We're here talking about Jesus because he came back from the dead and he never went back to the grave to prove who he is, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This is the good news, everybody. And so I just want you to know, wherever you are this Easter, Christian or not, God loves you. And he made a way for you to get right with him. He paved the path, and it's through Jesus and only Jesus. He gave you a gift in Jesus, and he wants you to believe it and have it and be changed through it. And so many of us here today, here's what I know. So many of us here, like, you have done that. You believe in him. You've responded that way. Like, he is alive in your heart. That Jesus isn't just a religion you follow. It's a relationship that you have with the living God that changes you from the inside out because of Jesus. So if that's you and you're a believer already in here today, here's my encouragement today. This is what I want to challenge you with today if you're a Jesus follower. Because here's the thing. Like, I would guess that right now in a room this size with this many people, there are a lot of things we're dealing with. Yes? Like, there's a lot of issues that are going on in our lives. And here's the thing, because just because we're believers doesn't mean we're immune to things like discouragement and disappointment or frustration or fears. And so I feel like I want to give you a word today. And here's a word that I feel like God impressed on me to give you: trust. Trust. Just with whatever it is, whatever you have, whatever thing is going on. I think like when we have this stuff going on, and I'm telling you this, this is why this message is so powerful with Martha and Mary and Thomas and how God, Jesus can work with this because he just needs you to trust him. He's not telling you to get over it. He's saying, just trust me. Can you take whatever it is that's going on in your life, whatever is going on, whatever your heart is, and here's what I just want to challenge you to say. Here it is, everybody. You ready? Okay. I believe. I trust you. In the middle of this issue, in the middle of whatever's going on, I believe. I believe you. I trust you. And that's when he'll move in your life, everybody. He will. He will. And some of you here today, like, you need to respond for the first time to this invitation that God gives you in Jesus. Like, you've been coming here, you've been coming to other places, you've been hearing about the good news of Jesus and that he came to die for your sins to be forgiven. That's the only way you could be made right with God. Sin gets in the way. Listen, everybody, you know it. Like, you can't get there on your own. Like, you know what I'm talking about when I say that gets in the way. And you've just never come to a place where you made Jesus your clear Savior. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to believe in him for the forgiveness of your sin for the first time. It's like the last step that you need to take for the first step as a believer in Jesus. And if you're ready to do that today, I want to invite anybody who wants to do that this morning. I just want to take a minute and do that. Some of you are ready right now, and I believe the Holy Spirit is telling you to respond to him in believing in his gift of salvation. It's a free gift. You just have to believe and turn your life over to him. So what I want to do really quick is if I just want to invite all of us to bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to invite all of us to pray right now. And if you're ready and prepared to make Jesus your Savior and give your life over to him, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I believe that it happens right now. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to stand up, raise your hand. I believe Jesus can save you right here. And so I want you to just almost make this personal by just a prayer I'm going to give you to pray. And you can pray it in your heart or in a whisper out loud, however you want to pray it. And here it is. You just pray this prayer. God, I know that you're real. I know you made me. And I know you love me. And I see that you sent Jesus for me. I see the sin problem that I have. I see it. I thank you that Jesus came to live the life I couldn't live. I can't live a perfect life. And Jesus came to live that life. And so I admit my sin to you. I admit that I need help. And when Jesus died on the cross, that he died for my sin to be forgiven. And so I surrender my life over to that. And when he came back from the dead, that he proved that he's God, the only God who could forgive me and make me right. And so I turn my life over to you. I commit my life to you forever. Make me new. And now for all of us, God, as we're praying, thank you for Jesus. And thank you that we are all sinners who need help, who need a Savior, who need forgiveness and your grace. And that today and every day that Jesus is alive and well, proving that he is the one who can forgive us and rescue us from sin and death. I pray for believers here to be, I don't know, just be encouraged and strengthened today with this story. And I pray for the newly committed here this morning that they could tell somebody and that they're encouraged right now in this moment. And I welcome them into the family of faith with the salvation they experienced just a few minutes ago. And I pray for those in this room who have not yet decided or are still unsure. And I just pray that you continue to speak to them, God, as we continue to help them see the truth that never changes, that you are alive and well, and that you are the only God who exists and the one who saves us and the one who loves us and redeems us. And we thank you, Jesus. And we all say this together in your awesome name. We all say this together. Come on, everybody. Amen. Hey, you want to worship a little bit? All right, let's stand up. Come on, everybody. Let's worship and praise God for Jesus.
Come on, put your hands together. I praise in the valley. I praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure. I praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm numbered. I praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the one. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason. the Lord for this morning, this Easter Sunday. He's sovereign over all things. He reigns above it all. Let's sing to him.
I praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise 'cause you're sovereign.
God worthy of praise, amen. Hey, we'd love for you guys to join us next week, 8:15, 9:45, and 11:30. We'll see you back here next week. Love you guys. Have a great Sunday.